Crenshaw, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The U.S. today unleashed airstrikes on Iranian-backed targets in Iraq and Syria in retaliation for a drone strike last weekend that killed three American soldiers in Jordan. CBS's Willie James Inman has details.
Pentagon officials say two B-1 bombers were among the aircraft used to hit more than 85 targets. They included command and control centers, weapons depots, and drone storage facilities, all linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard and affiliated militia groups. Sources tell CBS News national security correspondent David Martin there is more to come.
Officials here say there will be at least one more day of strikes in Iraq and Syria, and there will also be another round of joint U.S. and British strikes against Houthi targets in Yemen.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says the attackers clearly overplayed their hand.
I think they realize they may have pushed us over the edge, because in the last few days, they have come out publicly and said, oh, we're not going to conduct any more attacks. We don't want to embarrass the Iraqi government. And the Iranians themselves had repeatedly said over and over and over that we had nothing to do with it. So I think very quickly they realized that they may have pushed this too far.
The Newton Teachers Association and the Newton School Committee's bargaining teams agreed to a contract.
A 15-day-long teacher strike has ended in Newton, Massachusetts. The strike was one of the longest in the state's history. Classes will likely resume on Monday. 7 days of often emotional testimony have ended, and attorneys have made their closing arguments in the involuntary manslaughter trial of a school shooter's mother, Jennifer Crumley, in Michigan. The jury is expected to begin deliberations Monday after they get instructions from the judge. South Carolina will hold a Democratic presidential primary on Saturday.
South Carolina Democratic voters propelled then-candidate Joe Biden to his party's presidential nomination 4 years ago after he did miserably in Iowa and New Hampshire. Democratic State Representative Marvin Pendarvis.
They all talked about how South Carolina had helped deliver Biden to the White House in 2020, how we'll do it again in 2024.
One big question, how many Democrats will cross over and vote in the South Carolina GOP primary in 3 weeks as anti-former President Donald Trump voters? Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A Coast Guard officer inspecting shipping containers at the Port of Houston this week heard barking coming from one of the 10,000 containers. He found a sweet dog who'd been trapped inside for at least 8 days without food or water. She's been named Connie. She's now in the care of vets who are trying to get her healthy and ready for adoption. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study finds a troubling link between racism online and higher rates of stress and suicide among black youth. Terry D. reports.
Online racism includes jokes and misinformation, but also censorship or the removal of content posted by black users. Psychologist Dr. Raquel Martin explains social media is often a representation of what is happening in everyday life.
Having social media provides you with an opportunity to see how people that look like you are being treated in their own city and state and country, and acknowledging the fact that that is not often good.
The study reveals black teens with repeated exposure to racist posts internalize the content as threats, resulting in trauma-like symptoms and emotional distress. The Social Media Victims Law Center asserts that online anonymity and beliefs in digital freedom of speech are seen as justifications by those who post white supremacy ideology. Another study finds young people experience an average of 5 posts that include racial discrimination per day. Teens may see the content as teasing, not racial harassment, allowing cyberbullying to thrive. Martin says the apps commonly used by teens could do more to rein in the negative content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times the things they care about are losing money.
Recommendations to counter harmful online content include community faith-based and mentoring programs, and to address the stigma in the Black community of seeking therapy and connect teens to mental health resources geared toward youth. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and lows in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow and highs right around 40. Mostly sunny, warm, and low 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week, several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's Friday, Dom. We made it through the whole week.
Woohoo! Happy Friday, Crutey! Good to see you, Nate, and of course, our fair audience. Thank you for joining the political party. It's going to be a fun one.
Well, we're going to air some grievances up here. It's Friday. That is our tradition. And if you guessed, we've got our friend, Alan Robinson from the Herbal Aspect, joining us at 420 with some 420 facts. And Dom, a gentleman I made the acquaintance of in Des Moines, Iowa, joining today, Jonathan Sutter, going to talk about air travel for those on the spectrum and others that need a little assistance getting on airplanes. And that, you know, that might come in handy for me, Dom. I am not always a devoutly Christian man, but I do pray every time I get on an airplane. I pray. I take off my hat, you know, because I want God to see my bald head down here. And yeah, please, God, look over at the flight crew and all these nice people sitting around me, except that guy. He's kind of poking me with his elbow.
You can take off your hat, but leave on your pants, Curdy.
Oh, that's, well, maybe that's why I was doing wrong. I've been thrown off a few flights. But why it's relevant, Tom, because I'm flying next week. Heading out to Vegas, baby. Going to Las Vegas. Because next Tuesday is a presidential primary. Next Thursday is a presidential caucus, and I hear there's some football game going on in Vegas next Sunday.
You got a favorite?
Yes.
Who?
Whoever Joe Biden's betting on. You know, the president's going to Vegas, too. Biden is getting on an airplane. He's going to Vegas, and I'm going to follow whatever team he puts his money down on the MGM Grand. I'm going to follow Joe Biden's thing. I suspect from all the conspiracy theories I've seen online, Dom, I think probably the Chiefs are a safe bet. The fix is in, didn't you know?
Oh, I heard. Even the Pentagon's jumping in like, oh my God, you people, relax. It's not a psyops. Crudy, we do have some breaking
news. That's of course what the Pentagon would say.
Yes, of course. U.S. Central Command saying that we have taken retaliatory strikes against more than 85 targets in Iran and Syria.
That always makes me a little nervous. I'm just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
Iranians, militias in Iraq and Syria.
Yeah, Iranian proxies in Iraq and Syria. Also did see a note on the Chiron on CNN, a Pentagon official saying that we will not strike inside of Iran.
Whew. Today.
Today.
But of course, that's what the Pentagon's not going to tell you if they are going to strike inside Iran. They're not going to tell you whether or not Taylor Swift is a secret psyop. That's not what they do. They don't tell you. But Dom, I have been told. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, he's going to Vegas. He precedes me there. Well, campaign stop. Vegas, there's a primary on Tuesday. The man's on the ballot. I don't know if you know this, but I do regret that President Joe Biden will precede me there. He's flying in on Sunday night, and he's apparently staying through Monday, flying out on the 5th. And our buddy, sports reporter for Civic Media, we plan on having him on Super Bowl Friday next Friday from Vegas, Dom. I said, hey, you know, Joe Biden's also flying into Vegas about the same time you were going to arrive, right, Mike?
That sucks.
Yeah, so I can't wait till they shut down the air traffic. Right. And he's already very concerned about the travel within the Super Bowl corridor, because apparently they shut that down as well. You know, sort of like an RNC-DNC event, Dom. Very safety concern. So, Joe Vegas, Joe Biden going to Vegas. Do you think you'll bet on the Chiefs, Dom?
Hey, man, don't tell Zepecki that there's a new Vegas Joe.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? So I fully expect the president to put, you know, $100 down on the Kansas City Chiefs, because of course he will.
And because all of Q-Land will be betting against Taylor Swift's boyfriend and the Chiefs. They'll all be on the Niners. Although, isn't that where Nancy Pelosi's from? It's very confusing, very contorting for these conspiracy theorists, Dom. A little bit on the president's trip to Vegas. President Joe Biden will travel to Las Vegas this weekend for a campaign stop ahead of Nevada's presidential primary. Also the reason why yours truly is going out there. The White House confirmed Biden will travel from L.A. to Vegas on Sunday, February 4th. The campaign event is scheduled for that afternoon in a historic West Side neighborhood. He will remain in Las Vegas through Monday, February 5th. Unless he catches a roll at the tables, then he might stay forever. You never can't tell.
Yep, all night, man. There's no windows in those casinos.
Dominic, the presidential visit comes as Nevada wraps up early voting for the presidential preference primary. Election day for the primary is Tuesday, February 6th. Biden was last in Vegas in December to promote federal grant funding for the Brightline West high-speed rail project. Vice President Kamala Harris has also made two trips to the city in the month of January. Do you think that perhaps they see Nevada as a crucial swing state, Dom? I do.
Aren't all the swing states crucial? That's what makes them swing states, Grudy.
Well, not everyone may know that there's like a handful of states that matter, but Nevada is one of them. And I will be in Nevada. And Joe Biden will be in Nevada, and probably Taylor Swift will be in Nevada. Where's Dom, though? Who knows?
Not in Nevada.
Home watching on the boob tube. 844-967-2789. We air grievances on the Fridays. And the new maps, Dom, this ruling that came out post-show, and my only regret is it came out post-show. We couldn't announce it on yesterday's big show. But what was that announcement? That is news our audience should know.
Molly Beck reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has about a month left to put in place new legislative maps as part of a lawsuit challenging constitutionality of the current Republican-drawn maps, a process that is drawing heavy political fire. Yeah, man, those Republicans are not happy, Crudy, that they're going to have a fair fight. Two court-appointed redistricting consultants. It's the consultants, Crudy. On Thursday, effectively ruled out the only proposals from Republicans suggesting the court will consider plans submitted by Democrats or university professors as part of their work to draft new maps to replace the boundaries that the court ruled in December to be unconstitutional. The analysis by Bernard Groffman of the University of California, Irvine, and Jonathan Carvas of Carnegie Mellon University is being blasted by Republicans, signaling the already fierce fight over power in the state legislature will get even more heated. Rick Essenberg, Crudy's buddy, president and chief counsel of the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which submitted a proposal to the court, said the consultants were acting within a, quote, fog of faux sophistication.
He lives in a fog of faux sophistication. Are you kidding me? Please continue. I'm sorry.
The state GOP described the consultant's report as a, quote, brazen hack job by left-wing partisan actors. One can only conclude that the newly elected Supreme Court Justice Jenna Protasiewicz and her Democratic colleagues on the Supreme Court are using this, quote, unquote, report as a convenient excuse to take a ham-fisted blue marker to the maps in whatever way their out-of-state dark money donors demand, GOP spokesman Matt Fisher said in a statement.
Couldn't they be dark money in-state donors? You never know.
Why not? You never know. It's dark money. You'll never know. Dan Lenz, an attorney for the liberal-leaning Law Forward, which also submitted a map proposal to the court, said the consultant's report signals the current legislative maps will no longer be in place. A quote from Lenz. What this report ultimately means is that the extreme Republican gerrymander Wisconsinites have been living under for 13 years is very close to coming to an end. This is another important step to once again have a representative democracy in Wisconsin. Just one, two more paragraphs here, Crudy. Barry Burden, a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the director of the university's Elections Research Center, said GOP efforts to brand the consultants as biased towards Democrats are not convincing. Well, Barry, why is that? Well, here's what he says. Service and Groffman have worked for both major political parties in the past and have proven records of designing districts that sometimes displease Democrats and sometimes displease Republicans. Their analysis in this case was a straightforward and transparent look at the legal criteria that had to be considered. Groffman even worked for Republicans in Wisconsin during prior redistricting cycles. What? So this guy worked with Republicans during prior redistricting cycles, which, of course, ended up with gerrymandered maps. And what, Matt Fisher, the GOP spokesman, says that these are, what, out-of-state dark money donors demanding this? I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. Yes, let's have some fair maps. You trusted him before. You liked him when he gave you your maps. What's the problem now?
Well, they like the former maps, the deeply entrenched, twice approved maps, Tom, the ones they had to run up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, to get the way they wanted them, just right, Tom. And they offered Tony a fair deal, just with some minuscule changes. They offered him the deal that they ran up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court to have overruled. But now, with the Wisconsin Supreme Court and these maps coming out, you could understand why Tony might, you know, veto it. And take a flyer, you know, hard eight. Just keep rolling, Tony. You'll be okay.
You'll catch it.
I like the governor's odds. I like our odds. We Wisconsinites, you know, we're the real Wisconsinites. I like our chances on these fair maps. And I appreciate the fact that these consultants have basically already thrown out the worst of the worst. The partisan gerrymandering, the continued efforts of the Republicans. All for naught. All for naught. Throw them aside. Throw them in the garbage. They're like a scrap of paper, you know. I'm betting Detroit for the Super Bowl. It's about their maps are worth about as much as that scrap of paper. Joe's going to Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. But not before we air your grievances. 844-967-2789. Alan Robinson joins us next. Our fine sponsor partner from Herbal Aspect. Las
Vegas. The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Almo Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Back from the 420 break, make sure you download the Civic Media app. Super cool. Take the Devils with you everywhere you go. Find it at your favorite app store.
Dom, I've been joined here in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios by a sponsored partner of the Devil's Advocates, our friend, Alan Robinson from the Herbal Aspect. Alan, where are we starting today, man? 420 facts, lay some on us.
Oh, Crudy, hey, how Alan. You doing, first off? Thanks. What's up, Dom? How
it
you
is
doing?
Friday. We're always happy to see you, man, because yeah. Friday.
Well, you know, I'm always bringing goodies and gifts with me, so that's another reason.
Oh, know? I didn't even notice. Oh, he comes bearing
oh,
gifts.
Oh, man, wait, you
know,
what?
There's a little flower in the studio today. That said, you know, I had a conversation with one of our attorneys earlier today, and he was telling me about how there's this big, I guess it's a propaganda push for Joe Biden having put, he pardoned all of the cannabis offenses. Do you recall him having done that?
Yes.
Federal, okay. Yes. So, you know, I panned him pretty widely personally for that because nobody's locked up federally for cannabis possession anymore. They haven't been doing that for quite some time. But one of the things that my attorney kind of pointed out to me is that everyone that would have gotten a cannabis offense up until that point is now eligible for like college aid or federal funding and things of that nature. So the move,
they had been excluded through their quote unquote drug conviction. They'd been excluded from financial aid going to college.
Yeah, man. You know, you can rob somebody. Terrible. You can rob, rape, batter, thieves, steal. You know, all of the awful things. And the government will still give you money to go to college. But if you sell somebody a joint, that's it. That's all. So, you know, his move to pardon those offenses and it really did loosen those restrictions. It was a great move. In contrast to what's going on here in Wisconsin, I just find it so funny because, you know, I met with Mary Falskowski a couple of years back.
Republican state lawmaker.
Yep. When she was in the assembly, she introduced a medical bill and I met her with her and talked with her about it. She said, you know, she was one of the few Republicans that I had an opportunity to meet with her, Teston, a couple other folks.
Did you find her open-minded then?
I found her open-minded to suggestions in the bill. Her bill was really restrictive. I advised her to, at the time, speak with her assembly counterpart, Senator, current Senator Agard, right? And she ignored me. Now, what was funny was that maybe a year ago, I went up to the Capitol lobbying with some business colleagues of mine in regards to Devin LeMahieu's interest in, you know, cannabis reform. I saw Senator Falskowski getting off the elevator at that time. They were coming out of caucus, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you want to talk about somebody that looked like they went through it. She was in there with, and she told me, she was like, yeah, you know, Robin wants to start over.
Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly.
I mean, you want to talk about like a gorilla riding a bull. It looked awful. She looked like she had had a rough time. Right? Like, and
difficult negotiations.
Very.
Smoky backfilled room. Probably no smoke. Knowing Robin Voss.
That she didn't come out on top of, right?
Yeah.
Clearly. And, you know, we left the Capitol. That was about a year ago. And when we come back, you know, or later, Robin comes out with his poison pill bill. Of course, he's going to meet resistance from Mary in the Senate, right? Like, and she said so. She was like, this is a non-starter. There's no point in even having negotiations because the assembly isn't willing to come aboard. So we're not, they're not even going to take that bill up this session. So if you look at what's going on from like a national level with the Republicans and the Democrats to like what's even going on a state level with the cannabis reform issue, there's one party that seems to be handling it correctly. And then there's one party that seems to be an impediment, but that's also in keeping with everything that they've done.
You know, Alan Robinson, our good friend and sponsor partner from the Herbal Aspect, I am so looking forward to the state of Wisconsin being in the medical marijuana business and opening their DMV style dispensaries. It's going to have all the charm of like checking out at Walmart on Christmas Eve, I suspect.
Bro, I promise you absolutely nobody wants that. You know, I stock my dispensaries with both great products and quality employees so that we can get people in and out, right? I just gave somebody a devil radio consultation on Wednesday.
Nice. Yeah,
the lady suffers from what she thought was anxiety, but is actually just irritability. And
I have that just through my association with Don.
Hey, man, and I can tell you, you know, in her line of work, in her profession, which I won't, you know, I can definitely see it's stressful. And so being irritable, that's an issue. Well, I smoke some weed, miss. And so we can...
Fine advice, you know? From our good friend, Alan Robinson from the Herbal Aspect. You know, I met a gentleman yesterday at a legal marijuana dispensary, or very recently. I won't say it was yesterday, but I think it was yesterday. And this gentleman would have been a great candidate for actual medical marijuana. He told me that he had been advised by his doctors to not smoke anymore. He said, nothing? He said, no, I used to smoke marijuana. After many years of working in a factory, once he'd moved beyond the drug testing days, he found relief through marijuana use. He had lost a toe. I teasingly called him Nine-Toe Dan. But he had been advised that he could lose everything in his lower leg if he continued to smoke. So a guy like this literally, I mean, is a great candidate for medical marijuana, but really needs someone that understands gummies and all these sort of things. I recommended him to you. So if you see him
hobbling
in, and he says Devil's Advocate sent me, that's Dan.
You know, that Nicki Minaj got in trouble for calling that Megan Thee Stallion Bigfoot recently here. So I don't know if you should be talking about that man's foot. But I will tell you that I will.
Dan was a very friendly sort. He is very interested in, you know, the radio job. That seemed quite interesting. The fact that we had no drug testing.
Yeah.
Former factory guy.
Okay. Well, you know, there's so many ways that he can consume cannabis, right? You have tinctures. You have gummies. We've got a vegan soft gel cap that's measured out at 10 milligrams and measured out at 25 milligrams. And you know, that 10 milligram dosage is great because it's similar to a microdose. The effective dosage of THCs is right around 12 milligrams, right? But we find that your cannabis sensitive individuals, that 10 milligram dose, that'll be right about enough to not send them over into a panic, but to really generate and stimulate some euphoria. So, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can consume. You don't necessarily have to smoke. I did, however, bring some flower today. I'll invite you to have a sniff. That's the white chocolate.
That smells like freedom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you can pick
our
those
friend
up.
Alan Robinson from Herbal Aspects. Before we run out of time, Alan, I'm just curious, based on talking about the drug testing and whatnot, you sell, of course, legal cannabis here in the state of Wisconsin. Does that show up on a drug test?
So what they test for, what they test for when they test for THCs is the residuals, that the things that your body turns it into. And that's actually a different THC called 11-hydroxy-THC. Ironically, it doesn't matter what type of THC your body consumes, it turns it into 11-hydroxy-THC. So you'll certainly get positive because you're certainly gotten high. Okay.
Our friend Alan Robinson, sponsor partners with Herbal Aspect. Alan, how can people learn more, get the free devil consultation?
Oh, man, go on to go on to herbalaspect.com. Use the code Devil Radio when you sign up for the consultation, or you could, of course, stop into any one of our three locations, and any one of our employees there, staff members, will help you out. We've got 3547.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Folks, we'll be right back.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. The U.S. military has hit more than 85 targets in 7 locations in Iraq and Syria used by Iranian-backed militias and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. The strikes are in retaliation for an attack on a military base in Jordan last weekend that killed 3 American soldiers. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The president's also trying to decide whether to keep that U.S. military presence in the region, 3,400 troops between Iraq and Syria. Is it essential or are they at risk? 3 officials in the past week have said to me that they assess that Iran has lost control of some of these militias.
CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd on what's next.
Well, we have to assume that these strikes are part of a larger CONOPS or concept of operations in which the president has signed off on a multi-stage set of not just strikes, but other actions against the Iranian regime, to include sanctions, potentially covert action, and diplomatic overtures through third parties.
CBS News Special Report.
To rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the number 6 ranked Wisconsin Badgers lost Thursday night to Nebraska 80-72 in overtime. Matt LePay with the call on the Badgers radio network.
Hepburn with 7 seconds left. Chucky, a deep 3. It's off the rim, no good. Gary the rebound, and Nebraska wins it in overtime by 8. And another court storm here in Lincoln as the 6th-ranked team in the country goes down.
Now, Wisconsin has a chance to hold on to that spot in the top 10 when they host the number 2-ranked Purdue Boilermakers Sunday at noon. Head coach Greg Gard asked, will his team need to cut down on the turnovers against Purdue?
Yeah, that combined with bad shot selection and no play in the paint. We don't get to the free throw line, and we aren't going to get fouled when you're consistently shooting jump shots.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight, and lows in the low 30s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow, and highs right around 40. Mostly sunny, warm, and low 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week. Several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Your home of The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Want to thank our sponsor partners, Herbal Aspect. Thank you, Alan Robinson. Appreciate you coming around, giving us some 420 facts. Dom, we've been joined right now live via stream by Jonathan Sutter. He is here on behalf of TravelingWiki.com. And I met Jonathan in Des Moines, Iowa. We're both at the downtown Marriott. Jonathan, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got the feeling, in retrospect, that you, like I, might have been, you know, there stalking people at the political downtown Marriott, where all the people come after the political functions in Iowa. And we met there, and tell people what your purpose has become. I know it's not your only purpose, but it's a big part of it, Jonathan. Welcome. Tell me your purpose, sir.
Absolutely. And let me start by thanking you and the listeners throughout Wisconsin, and I believe Chicago and Minneapolis as well, in your listening area, for this opportunity. I mean, it's funny you mentioned stalking. I'm creating and growing a database which has become the largest of its kind in the world, to provide free resources, to document those resources for the autism community, to enable traveling. And it's funny you mentioned, you know, stalking individuals. In a very serious sense, so much of the autism community, and we're also now extending this to dementia and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's through the TSA.gov, so much of the community is nonverbal. So I view it as incumbent upon me to be that much more vocal for a community. Sometimes you don't get in life unless you advocate and you speak loudly. And so I'm doing that, and I'm trying to talk to anybody and everybody and anybody who will listen about the importance of this.
And perhaps, Jonathan, serendipitous that you and I met at that night, at that time. You now know, I've got a son on the spectrum. And you have, I believe, a son on the spectrum as well. But perhaps our experiences are somewhat different. And I've told our audience and my good buddy Dominic, he knows my son loves to travel. And we've taken Caden many places with us, and he's traveled without us. And, you know, is a good little traveler. That's not a universal thing, Jonathan. And as many challenges as my son has had, traveling has not been one of them. But you've had a completely different experience, have you not, sir?
Yeah, and to be clear, this is not, you know, I in terms of personal on my side, this is about others. This is, for me, this is so much about families like yours, and so many families and individuals that don't necessarily or have difficulties accessing air travel. I view air travel as something that's an enabler in life. It allows people to go off to college if the best college of their choices across the country. It allows people to go do careers that may otherwise be inaccessible to them without having access to air travel. And what we are trying to do, what I'm trying to do with this resource, is show people what resources exist, where they're starting from, where they might connect, where they might go to. We're connecting to the government's TSA Cares program to allow for facilitation of support at the TSA checkpoints around the country. Again, this goes beyond autism. It's now dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, anything non-visible. We're trying to provide those services, and we do this completely for free. It is entirely free. I've contracted with the government to do it for free because I want this to be widely accessible throughout society.
My son, Jonathan, my son, Caden, loves routine. He loves to know what's coming. And if you tell him what's coming, he's pretty much prepared for anything life throws at him. But if you don't warn him, it does create angst. It creates anxiety. So there were times in his life that we would go and we would rehearse a big day. You know, we would go to school before school started, and we'd go walk the halls, and we'd go to his locker, and we would get that routine so he didn't feel so overwhelmed when there were kids around, when it was crowded, whatever the case may be. Jonathan, is in some way, is this part of what this program that you describe, is that what that's like?
Yeah, and I view it, if we had, and those who are listening can't see me through the video stream, but I'm going to try and draw the picture for them. If you have a continuum of time, and it starts before the trip, and it ends when you get to the destination, and really that's not the end because you're going to return probably. The acclimation part, the before the trip, the planning, the understanding what might happen, is a huge piece, as you noted with your family and your personal experience. What many of these resources we're documenting allow you to do is to practice, is to go to a sensory room and have a mock airplane row of seats and practice with your child that may be on the spectrum or other similarly similar circumstances to be able to show that individual what this will be like and what might occur. I mean, this is about practicing for what will happen. I had an opportunity to learn in Hartford, Connecticut, and attend where an airline and a nonprofit, as filmed by Good Morning America, practice with an entire community in that area of Connecticut to allow the agents at the airport, the agents of the airline, and the community to all engage at those different touch points well in advance of travel. So I think it's a great opportunity as part of what Traveling Wiki is trying to do.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest live via stream. He is Jonathan Sutter, wikitravels.com. Did I get that right? I think I reversed it. Travelwiki.com. Travelingwiki.com. I should have just looked down at my notes here, Jonathan. Sir, if I may ask, what the website, what information, where's that going to take me? And practically, if I'm the parent of let's say a non-vocal autistic child and we're concerned about the prospects of going to grandma's house for Easter, what sort of recommendations is this website going to make to our family?
And can I actually ask you, before I answer that specific question, one thing I wanted to note at the beginning was why this may be relevant to your audience that normally talks about global affairs and things you were just talking about before. Can I note that real quick?
Sure, absolutely, sir.
I prepped for this conversation by talking to leadership at the Autism Society of Wisconsin, as well as a couple of the leading experts globally, one of which lives and has lived most or all of his life in Wisconsin, to think about what is relevant to those listeners that are based in Wisconsin. I know we have some individuals in Illinois and Minnesota as well. Autism, you know, I'm just going to read from the Autism Society of Wisconsin. It's a developmental disability. It affects how people think, how people communicate, how people interact. It is a circumstance in life that is very different for different individuals. It's relevant because the prevalence is 1 in 36, but when you start extending this to related situations, I mean, it's 8 million probably just on the spectrum alone, and then you start growing this. I would suspect most people who are listening on the radio either have a situation of autism in their family or know someone or one of the other non-visible disabilities. Back to your question, with respect to what you would find on Traveling Wiki. So we right now have a list of airports. That list of airports allows you to prepare for what, like that planning that you mentioned, where you can sit with your child and talk, or the individual, it doesn't necessarily have to be a child, that may be going through that travel journey. You can use the resource when you're planning what airports to fly into, out of, connect in, to know what resources are available by terminal. Some larger airports have them only in certain terminals. You can use that resource as well during your travels if things happen, anomalous things happen, to adjust. You can use that resource to connect. So we're working with TSA Cares. We are the resource on tsa.gov within TSA Cares. For non-visible disabilities, as I mentioned before, for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, autism, ALS, and the like. You can use this for engagement with your airline. It serves all those purposes. And I will say as well, TSA, we had a call with TSA this morning. TSA has recognized, they put out a press release on January 12th, 2024. And I take this very, very, very seriously. They noted that they had engaged with 187 organizations throughout 2023. They noted ours was the one to highlight in that press release on this particular topic. And that I take that extremely, it's a huge responsibility. I take it very seriously. And I hope the listeners throughout Wisconsin and in Chicago and Minneapolis and the like understand that this, you know, this is meant to be a free resource for those stakeholders. And I would love feedback. If you have suggestions, I did an interview in Des Moines at the time we spoke, with Aaron Kernan, who's an extraordinary resource in Iowa on WHO. And we had people giving feedback and it was perfect. We added airports and the like. So, you know, I want to reinforce my appreciation for this opportunity.
Jonathan, when the child flies or adult or whatever the case may be, this person that may or may not be verbal, suspect that often they're going to have a travel companion whenever possible. Are there ways to sort of give them vocabulary? Do you warn the seatmates? Do you say, hey, it's my friend's first time traveling. It's my son's first time, and he suffers from anxiety. You might see him flapping, hand flapping, which I know when my son was very young, he did things like that to help relieve anxiety. He, one flight, he flipped that shade up and down about 100 times. And, you know, I was apologetic to the neighbors, but I felt like I had to give them some sort of explanation. This is the only way this kid's going to make it.
Yeah. And there are programs that we don't necessarily directly aren't directly involved with, but are certainly well aware of and support what they are trying to do, like the Lanyard program, to let others know that an individual sits in a situation where assistance might be helpful to provide guidance to other individuals. I mean, I think our resource, what I'm trying to do is create more cohesiveness in the journey by documenting an aspect of the journey and then creating a web of links to other resources. The other thing we talked about with TSA that we're working on, which I think is really could be potentially helpful to this audience and those around potentially worldwide, we're working in Silicon Valley. I'm actually in Silicon Valley today. I'm working remotely in what I do daytime, but we had a call this morning with some computer scientists, one of which was profiled in The Economist. So this is, you know, serious computer science expertise, to try and build a generative AI chatbot to allow somebody to ask a question. Say, let's use an example. We're working some in professional sports. I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan. I would like to fly to watch the Bucks play the Lakers in LA. My child is on the spectrum. What should I do? And have it provide information to you in response to that question that not only leverages our website, but leverages these other resources throughout the web. That's, I think, a really exciting next step that we hope to be able to get to over the near to medium term.
Jonathan Sutter, founder of TravelingWiki.com. Jonathan, this is a wonderful, wonderful program you have going on here. What was the motivation? How did you start and how did you hook up with the TSA? I mean, it just seems like a lot of work, man. How'd that go for you, the origins?
I mean, there are a lot of, you know, reasons for this. I would say the most powerful reason for this is that it was a need that nobody was filling. I mean, I think when you're an entrepreneur, and this, I don't view this as an entrepreneurship or a startup, I view this, you know, in a different realm. But when you're an entrepreneur, you're looking for a problem that needs to be solved. You don't make a business because you want to make a business. You make a business that solves a problem. This solved a problem and no one had solved it because there's not really money. In my opinion, there's a lot, this is not magic, right? There's not really money in this. This is about providing a public service for free to document what already exists. And so to answer your question, the reason I started it is because it was a real problem. I spoke to autism experts around the country. I spoke, there's an airport in Pittsburgh, and Packer land to talk about Steeler land, but there's a resource in Pittsburgh. I'm from Northeast Ohio, so it pains me also. No, in all seriousness, extraordinary people in the Pittsburgh area that built something called Presley's Place. Presley's a child on the spectrum, very similar to Mike's story of his, you know, his family and his, that child's dad, Jason, who I spoke to, asked the airport to build something for a family like theirs. This is about families, individuals, being able to travel, being able to access these resources to leverage air travel. I guess one other point I wanted to make as well, you know, we talk about the common scenario of a family member traveling with a child. This is also about adults. I mean, what Pittsburgh thought through is how is an adult who has certain limitations supposed to, you know, change their clothes if they need somebody else to help them and there's not a family restroom around? How is an adult? I'm in Silicon Valley. I engage with San Geronimo Valley Community Center in Marin County with an individual, 32, who identifies Down syndrome. First time he had ever traveled and was talking about his experience and how he could leverage, and we discussed how we could leverage TSA Cares. And I actually reached out to Administrator Pokoski of TSA, reports into Secretary of Homeland Security, reports into President Biden. So two steps away from the president, you know, presumably about this. And he had responded to me. This is, I consider this extremely important. And again, once again, I really appreciate this opportunity.
Jonathan, give people the website once again, if they want to research their own travel needs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's traveling, TravelingWiki, Wiki, WIKI.com. As I said, my contact email is there. I welcome any feedback, advice. This is a community resource.
Very passionate man. I love people like you. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend, sir.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy Friday to us all. You can join us airing the grievances, taking your calls at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, very passionate man, Jonathan Sutter. He is the founder of Traveling Wiki, WIKI.com. And again, I think this is a great cause. He's not doing it for the money. But he is a very passionate man, and I love passionate human beings. I felt compelled to bring him to our audience, Dom. You know, Fridays and all, we air the grievances. Not being able to travel via airline is a big deal.
Yeah.
How do you get to Vegas and the Super Bowl that way? Right. Dom, you got a grievance for me, fella? Otherwise, I got one that's going to break your heart.
Oh, no, you go.
Well, we mentioned this one on the show yesterday, and somewhere along the line, it inspired our pal Rico to call in late in the show. And he did a little rap, and I've got to air the grievance on behalf of Rico. I didn't really do a sufficient job beatboxing behind Rico. You know, I had seen my son do it before. I thought, well, this looks easy, but I feel like I let the man down. I lost the beat. And it could have used more cowbell, of course. But the source material, Dom. The source material. Ben Shapiro's number one on the, Apple iTunes download. A little different than the Billboard number one. Similar, but different. But, Dom, I'm going to punish your ass because you weren't ready. If you don't have an immediate answer that I'm going here, my man Nate's going to play a little rap. What's this one's called? This one's the number one downloaded tune on the iTunes. What's it called, Nate?
This is Tom McDonald featuring Ben Shapiro, Facts.
These are the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Play a little bit.
Are we listening to the whole thing or just the Ben Shapiro part?
I would say maybe up to the Ben Shapiro part.
You want up to the Ben Shapiro part?
Well, we want to hear Ben.
I'll start at the Ben Shapiro part.
Let's do that. Let's he's like the new Marshall Mathers.
Eminem. Not, but okay. All right, let's hear it. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Man, you
don't respect. Let's look at the stats. I've got the facts. My money like Lizzo, my pockets are fat. Homie, I'm epic. Don't be a whack. Dog, it's a yarmulke. Homie, no cap. Look at the graphs. Look at my charts. You're blowing money on strippers and cars. You going to prison. I'm on television. Dog, no one knows who you are. Keep hating on me on the internet. My comment section all woke Karens. And I make racks off compound interest. Y'all live with your parents. Nikki, take some notes. I just did this for fun. All my people download this. Let's get a Billboard number one. This ain't
rap. See, you get the idea. He claims
Billboard number one.
He's looking for quite a Billboard number one. But yeah. how does this jackassery become the number one downloaded? And you know, I'm gonna work on my beatboxing. We're gonna get Rico in the studio and we're gonna
beat that effort. Iron Plow and do some rock and roll, dude.
Well, that's the real plan, you know. Yeah. Don't go telling the people on the radio right away that we might have some musical collaborations in the works. I didn't hear Michael Jackson telling the world that he and Paul McCartney were making Every and Ivory together, or was that Stevie Wonder?
I remember Eddie Van Halen did the guitar on Beat It, man. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. Ben Shapiro, terrible rapper. That's just bad. That's not good.
I think he's better than you.
I absolutely disagree.
Rap
what,
them.
What?
Rap them.
Oh, come on, man. That's prepared, written down, created, and rehearsed and thrown out with music behind it, right? Versus
I'll beatbox for you
off of 8 Mile and just talking about your mother and going to Cranbrook. I mean, so no, Cranbrook. But I'd rather sing, man. I'm a musician, baby. I got a guitar and everything.
You're gonna karaoke then?
Horrible. That is. Come on, how many? We've heard rap. Raps, you know, came around. It came to life. You know, when we were kids, man. I mean, Run DMC and Grandmaster Flash, right? Follow up with NWA. I mean, come on, put that stuff.
Come on,
away,
Dom. Baby. Give me a little hip hop to the hip. To the
Ben Shapiro is not, you know, redefining the genre. That's just crap. So why is it being downloaded? Well, I mean, why do people download things, man? I didn't download it. I mean, I'm more of a streaming guy. I don't really download music anymore. I'm more of a streamer because you can just punch it in and play it. Well, you got an internet and a little memory on your phone. So. That's just terrible, Crudy. That's not good. I would guarantee you and I are no worse than that.
Well, I would guess we could be significantly worse. I mean, that was not good, but I've heard us. We're really not good. This could get ugly.
Come on, man. When was the last time you sat down and tried to write a rap, man, and found some musicians to put a beat down behind it? Never, right? Never.
You don't know
so,
that.
Did Ben Shapiro, did he come up with this? Is this his own creation, or did he get the script, right? Did he write the music? Did he write the beats? Or is this someone that was handed to him? It's not my impression. He wrote that because it's very simple.
Dom, here is how the Washington Post reported it.
Oh, God.
The song, a collaboration between Shapiro and Canadian rap artist Tom McDonald, is packed with lyrics that take him at critics, the cultures, wars, and the rap genre in general, and calls out rap artists Nicki Minaj and Lizzo. Let's look at the stats. I got the facts. My money like Lizzo, my pockets are fat, said Shapiro. Nicki, take some notes. I just did this for fun. All my people download this. Let's get a Billboard number one. Oh, he's...
Oh, wow, rhymes and everything. That's really tough. That's a lot of work there.
Dominic, being number one appears to be a big deal for Shapiro, who founded the Daily Wire in 2015 and currently holds his own political podcast and radio show. He recently changed his bio on X, formerly Twitter, to read World's Number One Rapper. He titled one of his recent YouTube podcast videos, I Am America's Number One Rapper, in which he played the entire Facts music video while praising the success of his song. Here's the difference. Podcaster, radio host, you might be able to rap, sir, but you'll never touch the greatest radio show ever. That happened right here. It's happening right now, and it begs your participation in hour number two. Coming back, a happier Friday happy hour, airing of the grievances, yours could be next, or you can wrap it out with Dom head on head on the air right now. Call 844-967-2789. It's a Friday party.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.